Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the second part of the Ger Katan Sugya. When today will be primarily halachic topics. Last week we discussed a bit more of the lumdus about it. Maybe it's the raisa, it's the rabbanan, the role of the basin. There's much to say also in the part of the lumdus, but I think that the part of the halacha is very, very interesting, and that's why I said that today will be more of a halachic shir. So today I want to discuss primarily the inyan of the mecha, right? As we mentioned last week, so there is the right of the young convert when he becomes bar mitzvah to be moche. And what does that mean to be moche? Do we actually have to tell him in advance, listen, your bar mitzvah is coming, pay attention, be aware, you could be moche, you should be moche, or maybe you shouldn't say anything, just let's carry on. Won't say anything to the child, he'll carry on living his life, and he won't know anything in that case. For sure, he won't do any mecha, because he has no idea that he actually has a right to do that. Another thing which is very, very contemporary is that because of the concern of assimilation in Israel, given to the law of return, so we have many people that are citizens in the state of Israel, and they're not halachically Jewish. And that brings up the big question of assimilation, and we're always trying to find ways to make it easier for them to become Jews in order to solve the bigger problem of assimilation. And one of the suggestions that actually came up were that let's do this massive children conversion. It got the nickname of Ketanot Giyur, or maybe it really was, to have camps for children, summer camps. And they will come, learn a bit of about Torah, mitzvos, go all together to the beach, and have a conversion, everyone together, and by that, we will solve the problem in the future. And the question is, can we actually do that? Not because of the question of so many people, but rather, many of them are living in families that the parents might not be Jewish, or even if they are somehow Jewish, they're not observant, and they don't observe Shabbat and many of the mitzvot. In that case, maybe it will be a problem because if we're going to actually give the child the right to be moche, so in that case, in the future, so what are we actually gaining in this case by converting him when we know that there's a big chance that he will do actually mecha in the age of 13? So,
I'm just saying, are we talking about kids whose parents are still not Jewish and we convert the kids?
Yeah.
But would that be a case of Zakat Adam Shalom? Is it a zechiah to become Jewish when you're not going to keep mitzvahs anyhow?
That is one of the big questions that the post is going to discuss. Is this a zechus? If the entire concept here is zechiah, is this actually a zechus to be a Jew who is not an observant Jew? Some say, yes, being a Jew is always good. No matter if you are afilu rekanim shebach, meleim mitzvot karimon, oh, very good, so I'm a Jew. But some say, no, quite the opposite, because in that case, you're not going to do many aveiros, and for non-Jews, only 7 mitzvot, many of them you will keep anyways, having a court system, not killing, not stealing, being loyal to your wife. So all these things usually should be fine. But now you're actually adding 613 problems to deal with. So we'll see these questions and see what the post say about this. Of course, it won't bring any halach l'maisa on my side. I can tell you what I know happens around the Bitei Din, but I won't give any final psak because it's a very, very big machlokas. So a brief summary from what we saw last week, just in order to dive into the sugya once again. So in source number one, the Gemara tells us, Maravuna, Gel Katan, Matbim Torah Bitei Din, that a child has a right to convert. And the Gemara says, that is the chiddush, that you have the idea of zachin. All of us know that there's this halacha of zachin. It's a famous mishnah, zachin shel lefanav ve'en chavim nadav shel lefanav. So says the Gemara that maybe it's not a zchiyah because a non-Jew enjoys his life without Torah mitzvot. So he says that's true only with a person that actually is a grown up and he actually experienced the pleasures of the aveiros, and he might really enjoy the hefker and nichalei. But a child that never tastes the tam d'isura, it is fine. And then the Gemara wants to give us a raya from the Mishnah that I didn't bring here in the source sheet, but we learned last week that we have this concept of a woman that was converted when she was younger than the age of 3. So she converted in that young age. In that case, we assume that she's a besula, and her ksuba will be 200 when she gets married. So we see from here that yes, basin could actually convert children without their das, without them actually being part of it. So the Gemara, no, lo, hacha maskinan beger shenitgayru banav uvnotav imo demichalehu b'may David avuhun.
So it says, no, the Mishnah is discussing something else entirely. This is a case that a person is converting with his children, entire family are coming together and saying that we want to become Jews. In that case, that's for sure okay. The chiddush of Rav Huna is that, that even a child without his parents converting with him, he could, basically has a right to convert this child. So you have two types of ger katan, maybe even three, we'll see. We have a ger katan which is converting on his own, and we have a ger katan that his parents are converting, and he's coming with them. In that case, for sure it is okay, because nichelu b'may David avuhun. Then it says, Rav Yosef, Omer Rav Yosef, higdilu yechulim b'chod, there is the right for the child to do mecha. And we're going to see a machlokas actually, does this apply to every ger katan? Like also the ger katan of ger shis gai rubanov of nois avimoi the nichel v'alei adev avuhun. In that case, he could also protest. But we have the Beis Din who says that if the Beis Din does it on his own, for sure he could protest. But if his father converts with him, can he protest? We're going to see it's a machlokas. Now again, part of the summary is it's very important to see also the discussion whether it's the rice or the rabbanon, because a bunch of the things that we're going that we shouldn't actually bring up are going to be very important halacha lemaisa. So we brought last week's Rashi that said that a katan that converts, he becomes a ger, and nafkamina is because of the wine, that once he touches the wine, so the wine is kosher, and it's not yein nesef. So says the Ritva, this is the major nafkamina of becoming a Jew, only the wine that you touch. If you could give mishloach monos, can give wine or whiskey or things like that. So it has to be that the reason why they brought that example is just to tell us that this ger is only derabanan, it's not the deoraisa ger. Over there, the sources are there. You took the sources of the Ashkelon Minyan Shir of Shabbos, which are more than invited to come, but that is a different source sheet over there. So says the Ritva, Rashi for sure holds that the Ger is only the Rabbanan. And he says, it makes sense. Why does it make sense? Because as Rav Yosef says, the child has the right to protest, he has the right to do mecha, and since he's doing mecha, so in that case, how can we give him the status of a Jew? He might not be a Jew tomorrow. So what is this thing? He's a Jew, he's not a Jew, he's on and off, has to be, it's only derabanan. That is the proof, that says the Ritva, to the approach who says that the Geirus is only derabanan. However, says the Ritva, no, I strongly disagree, and he says, elavadai dehave ger medeoraita, the status of this conversion, this child is mamish geirus deoraisa, v'somchim alav lechol davar, and this is actually we could rely on this and for everything. He could touch the wine, he could marry a woman, he could do whatever he wants. He's a deoraisa Jew. There is a status here of a deoraisa. Hi, there's this concern that he might protest. Yesh lomar. No, this halacha of Rav Yosef is very rare. It shouldn't happen. Since he's a child, so Baruch Hashem, the education of children sticks with them forever. So in that case, there is no reason to believe that he'll do any mecha. So hi, the fact that he has a direct mecha, maybe we'll turn it to a derbanan gerus. No, it's a deraisa gerus. And I don't believe that he will actually protest in the future. And even if he does, since it's so uncommon, I don't have to worry about this. In that case, it will be fine. The Chasam Sofer actually uses this thing to answer another question, because he asks, isn't this thing actually a question of Breira? Right? He is now, we're now doing this Maisa Geirus. Now, is he a Jew or not a Jew? We're saying that he's now a Jew. Middel Raisa. And is this actually Breira? We're going to actually find out whether he's Jewish or not only when he becomes 13. And the Halacha, the Maisa, as mentioned in Beitza, Daf, Labet Chet, Amud Aleph, learned just recently in the Beitza Shir on Thursdays. And the is that on Dinim Deoraisa, Ein Breira. So how can we actually say here that he is a convert but Deoraisa? Isn't there a question here of Breira? But he says, because of this Ritva, since most chances it is fine, it's not a 50-50 Breira. It's so, we believe so much, we have so much confidence to say that he will carry on being Jewish. So that's why there's no question here of Breira. So again, according to Ritva, it's Deoraisa. I'm not concerned about the fact that he could protest, because it's highly unlikely that he will actually protest if he has a good education, and he will have a good education. In that case, it should be fine. However, there is also the Tosfot
in Ksubos that says it's the Rabbanan. Why does he say that the Gerus is only the Rabbanan? Because he's dealing with a couple of questions. Question one, how could he actually do a Zchiyah for a Katan? A Katan cannot appoint a Shaliach. And question number two is, this child is in the meantime a non-Jew, and also non-Jews can't appoint Shalichim. So how is he actually a convert? And because he says it's a Zchiyah de Rabbanan. In the end of the words of Tosfot, he says in the last paragraph, in source number four, he says, I'll tell you what. In the case of the question that he's not a Jew, we can find an answer, boyin kechod. But the case of a child, that he can appoint a shaliach, so he says, why is it a shalichus? Why can it actually work? Because since this is zchia, and it's a zchut gamul, it is a complete zchus, without any bad things attached. It's only good becoming a Jew, or any other zchia, which is objectively 100% zchut. So in that case, for sure, he could appoint a shaliach. Again, sorry, it's not that he can appoint a shaliach, but usually we learn that zchia is shlichus, and a katan can't appoint a shaliach, so why can't he have zchia? He says only shlichus that might not be 100% okay is a problem. A zchia, which is a zchut gamur, it's a complete zchut, in that case, there's no need for shlichus. In that case, he is zoche. So what is important to see here in the Tosfot, and we're going to, and this will be part of the discussion soon, is that it's a zchut gamur. It's a complete zchut. There's nothing to lose. Only good things will happen in this particular case. Also, Tosfot incidentally says this, it's deraisa for a different reason, because he says that you're actually winning yourself. In that case, it's fine. Okay, we'll leave that at the moment. So we saw here a few important things. Again, the right to protest. Ritva says it's highly unlikely that you're going to protest. Tosfot says that it's a complete zchut, and that's why it's also okay. Nothing to discuss in the meantime regarding the protest. Okay, let's flip the page, to page number two, and see, can he actually protest in every single case? So we have here a few halachos of children converting in Yoredea, Reisam Echet, Seifim Vav and Atelchet. So Kudishin Gara Vimuberet B'nai Nzich Tvila. So we have one type of child that is converting, and that is when he's in the womb of his mother. He's still an embryo. She comes and converts. The child doesn't need any tvila. He's 100% okay. Then the Shulchan Aruch says, Oved Gofim Katan, Im Yesh Lo Av Yechol Geyer Oto, if he has a father, so the father has a right to convert him, he has no father, and he comes on his own, or his mother brings him, so in that case, the Beis Din are converting him, because it is a Zchiyah. Last week we discussed what's the difference between the father and the mother. We said that maybe the father has the mitzvah of Chinuch, so that's why he will for sure guarantee that he will do the mitzvot. And then the Shulchan Aruch says as follows, Ben katan shigiru aviv, ben shigiru hu beidin, yachol limchot mishiagdil. Ve'en dino ki Yisrael mumar, ela ke'oved kochavim. Says the Shulchan Aruch that in all cases of a ger katan, almost all cases, both in the case when his father converts him, or he converts with the father, or the time that the beis din converts him, so he has the right to do mecha. So seemingly, in all cases, he has the right to do mecha. In all cases. And then the Shulchan conclusion says that the right of Mecha is only if you didn't do any Minag Yehadus. But if he did what's called Minag Yehadut, he act like a Jew for a certain amount of time after his Bar Mitzvah, so now he can no longer do Mecha. But we see here, which is very important, in all cases, apparently, he could do Mecha. And this is something that the Chasam Sofer disagrees. In source number 7, Pischi Tshuva brings the Chasam Sofer. So first of all, it brings the Tiferes Moshe. And he says that for sure, everyone agrees that when his mother converts, when she's pregnant with him, so that is for sure there's a requirement of Mecha. He was born to Jewish mother, it's fine, or he was converted also part of her. Whatever the reason is, he cannot do any Mecha. But says the Chasam Sofer, דאפילו גם לתוש הקדושה, כל שנתגיירו עמו אחד מאבותיו, אינו יכול למחות. He says, but if he converts with his father, and his father is converting with him, so in that case, he cannot do any mecha. מאחר שהתעריף פרחולץ, it brings a few reasons, והתעריף פרחולץ, דלעולם אינו יכול למחות אפילו גיירו בידין, the Rif, he doesn't bring this halacha at all of Rav Yosef, and he doesn't bring any, he says that there is no actually halacha that allows a child to say, I don't want to be a Jew, he cannot protest. Even the regular example of Ger Katan cannot protest. And he also the Bahag says Bahag shekol dvarav dvei kabbalah pasak kol panim beviu avotav afilu lo yizgeru imo eino yachol limchot. So he says even if the parents are megayer him, without them being part of the gerus, he cannot do mecha. Also maybe tells us something about the option of having camps for children when the parents are not being Jews as well. And he says that's also kol vaday shegam dat Rambam mechashem kibeset upuskim the pesku dehakol panim benitgayru imo and nochem chos. So he concludes that in the case that he converts with the family, he cannot do mecha. Halacha lemaisa in the Sefer Gerus Kehilchas in source number 8. So Rav Shmuel Ezra Stern is a famous Rav in Bnei Brak. He's one of the famous students of Rav Vosner, and I think he's also a dayan in Bnei Brak. And he says that although Chasam Sofer says that it depends what kind of Gerus this is, but he says Hericha Achronim Tuva Litchot Dvarav, that many of the Achronim say no, a child has right to protest all the time, which seems to be also Pshat Shulchan Aruch, all the time, whether his father converts him or the Beis Din, whoever it is, he could always protest. And the question is, why should there be any difference? Do you have any idea? Why should there be any difference between the Beis Din and the father? I have an idea, but I'll say it soon. But do you have any idea why should there be a difference? Okay, so we'll say soon.
No, the zechut feels different if it's with the father. I mean, the Gemara itself is sort of presented. There's a real difference.
Because it is more of a zchut.
Right.
More of a zchut. Okay. So in that case, what does the Shulchan Aruch hold in that case? That he could be moche also in that case? Or Rav Stern? I see that Alexander Moss is raising his hand.
But since you asked the question about why there would be a difference, I want to ask the question about maybe the difference should be in the opposite direction. Just in terms of reading the flow of the Gemara, Rav Yosef is samach to the fact that he could be nisgaya with his parents.
Yeah.
Does anybody go in that direction and say,
interesting,
maybe
okay,
the father has more authority to drag the child? No.
As you want to say,
okay, nichale, but the Beis Din actually has authority to make this happen. Zachin, it's a magic, it's hocus pocus, it's over. The father is a nichale, so we'll let it happen, but maybe there we actually want to leave the door more open.
Interesting. So you want to say the exact opposite. I didn't see any approach like that. But you're saying since the words of Rav Yosef come after the example of the one that says, no, this is the father who's megayer, that's for sure obvious. So you're saying that the mecha is only when the father is megayer him? But when the Beis Din megarim, so he cannot protest. I did not see any approach that way. I'll tell you why. Also, I think it doesn't make any sense because the Gemara brings that to say that this is for sure better than the Beis Din, which is megayer. So in that case, if it's for sure better than the Beis Din, so in that case, if the protest works here, it has to work also for the Beis Din. Right? The Beis Din is less of a schus. We'll see. We'll see the idea of Hashem. Oh, just go ahead. Thank you for the thumbs up. So we'll see Hashem. I think I have maybe a reason to say what could be their machlokas. Another thing that the Chassam Sofer actually brings is, yeah?
I'm sorry. Doesn't it come down to how Sechia works? Because is once he's up in the fun of, we're assuming that he wants it.
Yeah.
But let's say, if everyone cares in any situation of Sechia, if we then discover he really didn't want it, does Sechia continue to work? We're going on the assumption, because you're going to want it.
Uh-huh.
If you say explicitly, I don't want it, I assume Sechia wouldn't work in any situation.
Perhaps.
So maybe you could say the same thing here. That if he says, he's mice at the end, then clearly he didn't look at it as a skus, and therefore maybe it shouldn't work, period.
Okay, so in that case, why? So in that case, why is there a difference?
So in that situation, there shouldn't be. That would be an argument why there shouldn't be.
Why there shouldn't be?
It might come down to how Sechia works. I don't know if everybody agrees with what I'm saying. Does everybody agree with that?
I don't know. I don't remember at the moment in Hilchos Sechia if a person says I don't want it. So in that case, it doesn't work. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if a person now lifts his zocher from something and I say I don't want it, does it work? I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Is there a difference between saying I don't want it versus I didn't want it? Meaning the Sechia happened 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. When he's being mocha now.
So there is a machlokas rishonim when.
That act of Zechia that you did was not a real act.
So we're going to say machlokas rishonim when can you actually be moche? There's, I think, a das yochid. I think the Ra'ah or the Ran, I'm not really sure, that they say that the mechilah could be also beforehand, also before the age of bar mitzvah. Whenever he wants, he can actually do that. Only in the age of bar mitzvah, he can no longer be mochel.
Yeah, that's not Rav Jerry's
question. No, because
no, but
Rav Jerry is saying that the difference between he doesn't and he didn't. So it's so like, maybe you have some more time. Let's say he agrees in ages 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, that up to 13, he doesn't want anymore. So
it's not even that. It's did he agree at the age of 3? Did he agree at the time when? It's either that moment or the later moment. When he refuses later on, is he saying, like Michael was saying, that I didn't want it when I was 3, and therefore it wasn't as close to me then. I think we do hold on Zachin that if a person actively protests the negative kavana, that it's not considered...
We do see regarding... regarding kalechet se'afot, a person comes and he tights your field, and he uses certain fruits. So if you come and say kalechet se'afot in the case of bar mitzvah, they should have gone to the nicer ones. So it depends if he has nice ones. So you figure out later on whether he agrees or not. But there, I think it's also different because I think it's a mitzvah. I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not really sure. Okay, let's see. The Chasam Sofer also brings another thing, which it's not really to do with the Chal, but it's an interesting thing. What happens if he is indeed if he is moche? What happens retroactively? Does the wine that he touched before him become non kosher wine? So he says, yes, indeed, it became non kosher wine. Says Chasam Sofer, the Ktav Od, back in source number 7, Vaday de mi karaka yud mafrea, v'ayin anishar shel gabo kol mechato hu kechol magav ve'krovim katan b'yain shelanu v'im ba'bat Yisrael v'yitob b'batet nifsela mekeuna. He says, yes, there are terrible ramifications. The wine becomes non kosher. If he did get married, so this lady can no longer marry a Kohen, it's terrible. So he says, in that case, maybe you should have now this concern to begin with, that he might be moche, as the Ritva says. He might be moche. So in that case, how can we say now bracha, in all the process of the conversion, maybe it will be a bracha levatala. So he says, like the Ritva says, no. He says, ein lachush zeklal. There's no reason actually that he will be moche. We have the assumption that's highly unlikely. That's why we actually do the bracha. But he holds that, yes, everything is a mafreya. Interesting, the Meiri, and I'm not sure if the Chasam Sofer saw the Meiri. You think the Meiri was being published later? Could be. Not really sure.
The Meiri, old published one is definitely later.
It's definitely later, right? So I'm not really sure, but the Meiri says explicitly, not like the Chasam Sofer. He says, footnote number 1, but the wine is kosher. So, first of all, he says two things. He says, first of all, it can be moche, whether the father converted him, whether it was the basin, I don't care. And also, the wine is kosher. I'm still in the footnote. And he says, although it is, usually a child that does cause wine to become yei nesech, but he says, since it's all derabanan, so it's kind of like hem gezru. Since the entire iser of yei nesach nowadays is only the rabbanan. So he says that they say no. There's no the rabbanan in the case of ger katan. In that case, we'll actually use the idea of the rabbanan. Another interesting halacha, which it's not so important, but I found this fascinating. In Chas Chinuch, which I mentioned briefly last week. So the Chas Chinuch says, what happens if he converted, right? The katan converted, and they did the milah, the tefillah, and then in the age of 13, he was moche. And then back in the age of 16, he said, oh, I made a terrible mistake, I want to become Jewish once again. So he became a non-Jew. But do we need to ask him to do a gerus once again, a milah once again? And says Ben Chaschil, very fascinating, he says, since the process was for the sake of a mitzvah, for gerus, so he had a milah for the sake of gerus. He had tevilah for the sake of gerus. All that he needs now is kabbalas mitzvos. A big chiddush. I don't know how will that actually work. So does he need that now to declare to the world, I am a Jew, I love him, and so that's it, he became a Jew? It's fascinating. I don't know. I mean, it's...
Why wouldn't it work?
Because it's so fragile. Like, all he needs to do is, for, I don't know if he needs to say it, if he needs to go to Beis Din. He says that? I'm not really sure. He says, all we need is kabbalas mitzvos. I guess, yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, kedino. In Sinan HaResh Mechet. So he has to go to Beis Din.
But it makes sense, because since we don't, in a normal gear process, require kabbalas mitzvos until after Mila with Tevila.
Yeah.
So he had his Mila, he had his Tevila, and then there's a long
waited 20 years till he did the Kavod of Mitzvah. Mm-hmm.
In the middle, he protests, and he said that. Oh, I did beforehand. I don't know.
Processes are difficult.
Yeah. Tell me about it. Yeah. So it's very interesting. He also brings here a question: whether Bnei Keturah, which are commanded in Mila, so they did a bris. Now they want to convert. Do they need to do another Hatafos and bris? Very interesting read. Everyone more invited to look and see inside. But anyways, we see from here that there's a mecha. There's a machlokas in which cases of ger katan we can actually do the mecha, whether it's in the case that only the Beis Din are megayer him, but also in the case that his father converts him or converts with him. So let's see. Do we need to actually tell him that he has the right to do mecha? Do we need to tell him to actually about that? So in sources 10 and 11, the Rishonim discuss where is the Kavos Mitzvah of a Ger Katan, right? It's easy to do a bris, it's only a maisa. It's easy to do a tefillah, we just dip him inside the mikvah. But where is his Kabbalah's Mitzvah? Where is it? So the Machlokas Rishonim, where it is the Kabbalah's Mitzvah, says Tosfos Sanhedrin in source number 10, also that a large Tosfos that discusses the Sig of Ger Katan, and he says, ואין חסרים אלא קבלת מצוות, ומתוך שגדלו ולא מיחו, היינו קבלה. The Kabbalah's mitzvot of a katan is the fact that he's not protesting. He reaches the age of bar mitzvah, so the fact that he's not protesting, that is his Kabbalah's mitzvot. And seemingly, I mean, so he has to actively not protest, right? Because he has to actively be the Kabbalah mitzvos. So it seems from here that he has to know about it, and he also has to actively not be moche. Shitim Kubeza says that no, I think it's not only him, I think it's also the Ritva. He says, if I'm not mistaken, says Shitim Kubeza, Af agav tzir Kabbalah, hani mirilei hechad efshar, aval bekatan, lo efshar. In the case of a child, so since he has no das, so in this case, there is no requirement of Kabbalah's mitzvot. It's a very big chiddush that for a child, there is no chiyuv of Kabbalah's mitzvot. So, that's this big machlokas regarding Kabbalah's mitzvot. And says Rosh Weiss, actually the nafkamina between these two rabbis, these two rishonim will actually be, does he need to know that he has the right to protest? Says Rosh Weiss, hine hatosfot biktubot naktu. So he's connecting the Shittim Kubeses with Tosfot and Ketubot. Naktu, the kol ikar din hagerut beger katan mushtat al had zechin adam shalefanav. What is the gerus of a katan in Ksubos? It is the entire idea of zochin. How does he become a Jew? Because of zochin. He doesn't have to have any kibbutz mitzvot. He has to have a zchia that the base are zochin for him to become a Jew. Ela shimcha begadluto igrei milta mafresh shein hadut zchut. The purpose of the mecha is not to do kabbalas mitzvos; it's just to determine whether it is a zchus or not. Uvetla gerut al mafresh ulifid va'av nireh lichora dekolod lo micha ve'av shelo yada shegeru o shelo shada shesh b'tov mimchot adain minichim amu shezchuti lo ve'av eger gemur. Says in that case you don't have to inform him, because if he seems to be happy, so in that case okay, he's happy, there's a schos, fine. Only if spontaneously and naturally he comes and says, I don't want to be a Jew, now I know this is actually not good for you, this tells me that this is not a schos, that's why you're no longer a Jew. So the entire purpose of the mecha, said Rosh Weiss, is to tell me, is this a schot or not? And only if he comes on his own, saying, I don't want to be a Jew, now I know that really you don't want to be a Jew, now I know that this is actually not a schos, but I don't have to inform you, I don't have to tell you anything, we will see naturally, are you happy by being a Jew or not? That's the purpose of the mecha.
אך בסנהדרין, התוספות in source number 10, נקטו התוספות, דבר שאמרו שגדילו עם חוי מוחות, הווה משום דבקתנותו לא קיבל עבור מצוות, וכשגדל ולא ימחה, הווה כקבלה. The purpose of the מחה is not to determine whether it's a זכות or not, but rather the purpose of the מחה is קבלה סמצוות. A קטן is lacking the requirement of קבלה סמצוות. ולפי דבריהם פשוט, שצריך להודיע לו בגדלותו, כדי שקבל עבור מצוות ויהיה גר גמור. He needs to actively know that he's now doing קבלה סמצוות. So says Moshe Weiss, this machlokes, whether he needs to know or advance or not, is or whether we yes have kavanas mitzvot or not, actually tells us the purpose of the mecha. Those who say that you don't need any kavanas mitzvot, so the purpose of the mecha is only to tell me, is this a zchus to be a Jew or not? That's the purpose of the mecha, and that's why there's no need for him to know. We have to just see naturally, is he happy or is he not happy, if this is zchus for him or not. But according to Tosfot, he says no, the purpose of the mecha is actually to do a ma'is of kavanas mitzvot. In that case, he has to know about it, and he has to with the das of a grown up to say, I want to be a Jew, I want to be mekabel the mitzvos. I would like to suggest this might be also the machlokas of Shulchan Aruch and Chatam Sofer. Shulchan Aruch says that in all cases, a katan has the right to be mocheh. His parents are converting, his father converted him, he always has the right to be mocheh. Chatam Sofer says, no, only in the case of Beis Din. I would like to suggest maybe that since we saw in the Gemara that it's a bigger zchus, it's an obvious zchus according to the Gemara, that when his father converts him or converts with him, he for sure wants to be a Jew. So in that case, there's no need for a mecha. We know very well he wants to be a Jew. His father is converting. So in that case, for sure, says the Gemara, michel b'may da'avad avuhun, there's no question about it. So in that case, for sure, this is a zchut for him. In this case, there's no suffix whatsoever. For sure, he wants to be a Jew. And since for sure he wants to be a Jew, so in that case, he has no right to be mochel later. Because in that case, when he reached the age of 13, he changed his mind. But in that time, for sure, a child wanted to do exactly what his father does. He looks up to his father. He wants to be like his father. That's why, for sure, it's a zchut for him. Since for sure it's a zchut for him, there's no need for a protest because we know very well this is a zchut. When do we need a protest? Only when the Beis Din does it. We don't really know if it's a zchus. We think it's a zchus. We'll say in the age of 13 whether it is a zchus or not. But in the case of the father, since we know it's a zchut, there is no need. But the Shulchan Aruch that says that in both cases he has the right to be moche, he holds like Tosfos Sanhedrin. He holds that why does a child have the right to be moche? Because we're still missing something. A child still needs to tell us, is he mekabel mitzvos? And since he needs to tell us, that's in every single scenario. The father converts him, the Beis Din converts him, he's still missing kabbalas mitzvos. So he needs to know about it, and he needs to do a mecha, or not a mecha. So I think that could be the machlokas of Shulchan Aruch and Chasam Sofer. That would be the difference. That if it's only to determine whether it's a zchut or not, so in that case, in the case of the father, most likely, even more likely than Beis Din, it is a zchut. Katan, michalu, b'may da'avad avohon. So in that case, no mecha will help. It's for sure zchut, it's for sure that he wants to be like his father. But in the case, but the other opinion says that no, the purpose of mecha is actually kabbalas mitzvos, and since there's no kabbalas mitzvos in either case, so he has the right to the mecha. That's how I want to explain the Chatam Sofer and Shulchan Aruch. I think it makes sense, hopefully. So, but anyways, we do see from here between Tosfot and Shlim Kubetz says another practical halacha: does he need to actually know about it beforehand? Seemingly, Tosfot Sanhedrin, he needs to know about it, because he needs to become mitzvos, but Shidim Kubeses seems to say differently that no need, and it's fine. The Ritva brings another question, which also his answers seem to be also dependent on the question, do we need to actually tell him in advance or not? So says the Ritva, the Gemara tells us, Higdil ha-sha'a achat, v'lo michta shun ha-chemchot. So once they're acting like a Jew, for a sha'a echat, for a certain amount of time, so now they can no longer protest, says the Ritva. He says, when is this exact time that the child has the right to be moche? When is this thing? If it's he has the right to be moche only when he becomes bar mitzvah. And then at that moment, he is acting like a Jew. He didn't say anything at the moment. So now, a second pass, he can no longer be moche. How can he be moche? Asked the Ritva. And let's say that we don't know if it is according to, if he's bar mitzvah according to the Zman of the Geonim or Ben Utam. So I guess he has to now protest for an hour, saying, I don't have to be a Jew for a whole hour from Shkia until Tzeis of Ben Utam. Because of the suffering, I mean, how are we going to be mitzamtzim? So he gives three answers. And answer number one says, he brings the Tosfot. Tis of a Tosfot, they nam gerim chmurim ad shemodi'im otam. Matan scharan, ve'on sham shmitzvot k'sheigdilu. Ve'achi kamar, k'on shigdila sha'achat, begerut gmura. Achar shigdila, ve'odiu la'on sham v'scharam shmitzvot, shuv ena yichola limchot. Ve'ahi shaita, hu da'avin alu k'nas, regarding the time of Gerus. Fine. But anyways, he says to us, what? I'll tell you, when is this time? He doesn't have to yell for a full hour, I'm a goy. But rather, we having to come to Beis Din, once again we tell him or her, listen, you had the process, tefillah, now decide whether you want to be a Jew or not. And now, he says, or she says, I don't want to be a Jew, or don't want to be a Jew. That is the time. And once they say yes, for a second, they can no longer protest. So according to Tosfot, it's very clear that we actually have to tell the child that he or she has the right to protest. However, Tosfot brings a few answers. He says one answer that indeed, Inami hachi kemal kelen shigdil shachat l'shem Yehudit kemal. Not only that he or she became a grown up, but they actually did some kind of ma'ase yahadut, because it's a ma'ase yehudit. Achar shegila v'nikarim ma'ase shem yehudit. Ha'hi shaita says the fact that for one second they're doing some kind of yehudis, some kind of ma'ase yahadut, that is enough. So let's say they're doing a tehillim or steigening during the time of the bar mitzvah. They're doing a ma'ase yehudis. That's already enough. And already they do a ma'ase mitzvah of yahadut. That point on, they can no longer do so if they didn't do anything special at the time, so then they have the right. If they do a mitzvah, just acting like a Jew, that is enough. And so according to this answer, there's no need actually to tell the child in advance you have the right to protest. If they're going to carry on acting like a Jew, that will be enough. And in that case, he or she can no longer protest and mimochem. And the third answer is indeed, yeah, for, I don't know, since Shkia time, they're yelling and saying they don't want to be Jewish. That is the Mecha. But as we see from here, once again, a machlokas rishonim that seems to be dependent on what we're discussing. Do we need to tell a child in advance that he or she has the right to be mochel when they grow up? So according to the first answer of Tosfot, yes, it's a whole scenario. You bring them to Beis Din, tell them about mitzvot, and then we'll see what they say. According to the second answer, the fact that they just are acting like Jews for a certain amount of time, that is enough, and that's why they become Jewish, and there's no need to tell them. So halacha maaseh, what do we do? So we have Rachel Zaboskim, Reb Moshe and Reb Moshe. We have Igros Moshe Feinstein, and on the other hand, Chavos Vanogos, Reb Moshe Sternbuch, Lehavdil ben Chaim L'Chaim, Shlita, the Rabbi of the Eid Charidis. So actually, surprisingly, Reb Moshe Feinstein is the more makel one in this case. And in Source 14, he brings a question about adopting kinder, about adopting children. So he says, can we adopt children? He asks, what kind of halachic challenges do we have in the cases of adoption? So says Igros Moshe, that so if you adopt an Israeli baby, a Jewish baby, so now you have to make sure that he's not a mamzer. You have to do an entire check his yichus to make sure that he's fine. He's not a shtuki, not a sufi, he's not a mamzer deraisa, a mamzer derabanan. So he says, you have to make sure who the family is, if he has brothers and sisters. It's a bit complicated. So he says, if you ask a non-Jew, so it'll be easier in terms of yichus, adopting children. But he says, but if you adopt a non-Jew, so now you have to make sure, צריך להודיעו קודם בן יוד ג' לזכר, וקודם בת יוד ב' לנקבה. You have to tell them in a younger age that they are adopted. I don't know how the common practice is today. I spoke with someone, which I know that he has adopted children, and they were actually trained to tell him in a very young age.
at a very young age, already since the time of your kindergarten. So they had a special books saying that I was chosen, and they're saying that how special he or she were when they were adopted, because they were chosen, they were picked, and they were special. And from a very young age, they were actually aware of it, that they are adopted. But we actually need to tell them that they're adopted, and also have the right to be moches. So as they give us moches, we have to tell them in advance. We have to tell them that they are adopted, and they also have to know that they could be moche. But he says, if you don't do that, he says the right to be moche starts from the moment that they know that they have the right to be moche. In that case, you are in big trouble, because if you keep this as a secret until the age of 30, so in that case, you find them in a bad day, and you tell them, listen, you actually adopted, and you actually had the right, you have the right to protest. I had this right. Okay, I don't want to be a Jew. So in that case, They're no longer Jews. And he says a very interesting idea. He says you have to tell them in the younger age, because the entire svara, says the Gros Moshe, that we tell children, that we actually say that this is a gerus d'oraisa, we say a bracha mitzvila, and there's no chashash, no concern of them protesting. It is because it is in the young age, since they are educated in the young age and they're still under the control of the parents. So in that case, it's, as we said, it's highly unlikely that they're going to protest. But what can you do? Once they become teenagers and they're more rebellious, so it's harder to keep them with us. So in that case, they could actually be protests. And the entire assumption that allows us to convert young children is that they won't protest. But now you're actually leading them to an age that it becomes quite likely that they might protest. I don't know what will happen to me if they'll ask me today. So in that case, we have to tell them in advance. So this Moshe Paskin's halacha lemaisa, that we have to tell the child in advance, and also seemingly what he says, and we have to also tell them the right to protest. However, Moshe Sternbach, Chuvas Van Hogos, he says differently. He says, in our case, So he brings a case of a person that has, that the child is converted. Do we need to tell him or her in a young age? So he says that I'm not on page 4 on the top of the page. So he says, "Pashas also na gemara begel ketan ktana hidul lechem imchot or matzah shezoyef sharut imchot." He says it's only an option. You don't have to make a big deal out of it. If they protest, in that case, they're no longer Jews, he says. We don't have to go come and tell them, listen, you have the right to protest. There's no need to actually tell them that you have the right to protest. And then, so he says, in that case, So he says, since there is no requirement to actively tell them to protest, so in that case, they become Jews once they just carry on behaving like Jews. He does bring the Rishonim that was mentioned in the Shlem Kubetzet, that we have to actually tell them, and that's actually the Mecha. But he says that, I don't think that's true. Tmehani, שלפי זה צריך שתי הודעת זו בדין, כדי שתוכל לחשב גירות כשהגדילה, ולא שמענו מעולם שכשהגדיל צריך לבוא לבדין. He says, listen, I was a dayan in Johannesburg, I'm a dayan now in Eretz Yisrael, there was never a requirement ever in the world that they asked a young child to come once again to the Beis Din on his bar mitzvah to the Beis Din and tell him that you have the right to protest. We never do that. So it has to be said that this Tosfot is not halacha lemaise. He says, yes, I'll just say briefly what he says lemala. So he says, since this child, and this is also an interesting idea that he brings, he says, since this child is adopted, and it's not like this is his biological parents, right? If it was a non-Jewish family that has this child that converts only their son or their daughter, so in that case, no matter what, he will always be with them. But in the case of adoption, he says, listen, this child knows that he's adopted. He knows that this is his only family in the world. He has no other place to go to. So in that case, he for sure wants to do what these parents are actually doing for him. If they raised him and wanted him to become Jewish, so for sure he also wants to do whatever it takes to stay with them. Today, I don't think it matters because legally they won't say, okay, we don't want you anymore. Chas v'shalom. I think they can't do that. But nevertheless, he wants to satisfy his adopting parents. In that case, for sure, he wants to do what they want to do. In that case, Anan Sade, we have this Anan Sade that tells us for sure he wants to stay Jewish, and that's why there's no requirement whatsoever to actually tell him that regarding Gerus. He does mention in the end, all this is true only because of the Gerus. He says, without the Gerus thing, nevertheless, we should tell this child in advance that he has a right to become non-Jewish. Sorry, we have to tell him in advance that he's adopted because you have a bunch of other questions of Yichud and Chibuk V'Nishuk. We're supposed to keep our Mekel with that as well. So it's not such a big problem, but he brings this up as a problem. So because of that, at least, you have to tell him that he's adopted. There's no requirement whatsoever to tell him that they have the right to protest.
Unfortunately, what he's describing may be ideal, but it's not practical reality. There are many cases, unfortunately, where kids are adopted and they resent the parents who adopted them, and they dafka don't want to stay.
Yeah, I hear. So I asked two batei din around the world what they do. Do they tell children? So one basin told me that they do tell children in one place of the world. Another person in another place of the world say that they rely on the Rishonim, that there's no requirement to actually tell the children. And since they're doing Maisi Yahadus, they're acting like Jews, so that is enough. So it's very, very interesting to see that the different approaches of the Batei Din around the world.
Is that problematic that Batei Din have different...
One
Beit Din, the other one is... They're not...
So it's not ideal, but I don't think it's a fundamental difference. So you have a machlokas for Moshe and Moshe. It's a machlokas for Shonim. You can rely on this, you can rely on that. So I don't think it's so bad.
With a Beit Din that requires informed no macha, recognize the Beit Din that doesn't?
Yeah, they do.
I'll tell you, I was involved when I was in a shul rabbi. I was involved in Gerus through Queens. We always went to Queens for the vibe there. And there were several cases involving families with little kids, and they never said anything about this. They said, no.
Carry on acting like a Jew. Yeah, that's what I heard as well. Just carry on, do a mitzvah, daven maariv, say krishma, immediately when you become bar mitzvah, and that's it, you're done. Because you're doing ma'aseh Yehudis, and that is enough. Yeah. He does bring here a nice case, it's terrible. He does bring here a case of a yelad shovav mechutzav, a naughty chutzpahdik boy, that he was converted as a child, and he figured out he was a young Talmid Chacham, and he learned that when he finds out that he's a ger, so he can actually protest. So he says, I don't want to be Jewish, but I have such nice adopting parents, they're so nice to me, they're taking good care of me. So I'll tell you what, for the next 5 years, I'll be Jewish. I'll make them proud. I'll go to yeshiva. I will learn. I'll be a great guy. But at the age of 18, I'm out of here. I'm heading to college, and we'll stay in touch. But I will not be Jewish. So he asked, "Is this Kabbalah mitzvah or not? Is this a mecha or not?" I don't really understand the question. But he is misupak, and he says, "Kasheli kva bezeachra." It's hard for me to determine. I think that there's an obvious answer, which is, he's not Jewish, right? If he says, I'm going to another 5 years, I'm telling you now, I'm going to be Mechal Shabbos, Ina, Kosher, and do all the rest in the world, of course it's not Mechal, of course that is protest. What is the difference if he says, I'm doing a Avera another 5 years? I mean, Mechal means I don't want to be Jewish. Not that I'm doing an Avera immediately, right? The Gemara says, if you're no Hegminag Yahadus, so in that case you can't protest. But not, there's no requirement, what is Mechal? Eating lobster for a second of the age of 13. Of course not. So he says in advance, I don't want to be Jewish. Another 5 years, I'm going to be a phony. I'm going to be a very nice child, but I'm going to be a phony. I think that's for sure Mechal.
We've also gotten far away at this point from the whole concept of Zah. Meaning, we're not going to say that zchus hulo means because Jews are going to take care of you and raise you. That's not our definition of zchus.
Maybe it could be a definition. Who says that the zochin has to be a yahadus zchia? Zchus is also saying that your father is begayer. I love my dad. It's a zchus. So here, I love my Italian parents. They're so nice to me. Maybe it is a zchus. But still, but here he says that, I mean, I think it's quite obvious. If he says, I don't want to be Jewish, I'm going to the various another 10 years, 5 years, so I don't think...
Well, if so, then you go the other way. In fact, it is a Kabbalah's mitzvah. But it's his chosulah, because those vital years when he needs to be supported, he's going to be taken.
So only if you now say that this tremendous chiddush, that this actually becomes giru avoysav, so only then you can say that it's a giru avoysav, and in that case there's no mecha. I think it's a bit, it's way too much of a stretch. Also, Rav Vosner was machmir about this, like Moshe Feinstein. He brings a case that was in London. He says, seemingly, he says, isn't this maybe the case of the Mishnah in Ksubos? That we're actually talking about a girl that was converted before the age of 3, that's getting married, that she has a Ksuba of 200. Isn't that the case that she's actually getting married, in the age, he brings a question. That happened in the town of London, that they found out a day before the wedding, the rabbi was preparing everything, he found out that the kala is adopted. And she was never told that she's adopted, and she was never told that she's actually not Jewish. So he says, can they now get married? Maybe cool her off a bit? Because if they will tell her today, a day before the wedding, she'll freak out, run away, everything will be cancelled, and the caterer will have to be paid. So in that case, what are we going to do? So he says, maybe they should get married, and then we'll tell her, carry on telling her. And that's the link is the Mishnah, that the young girl that is now going to get married. But he says that is again true only if it's a young child, because a young child we actually say that it's most likely they're going to carry on being a Jews. But if she's already in an older age, so we have no guarantee what's going to happen. She might indeed protest, and that's why he says, although there may be some kind of room to be mekel, I'm not adding myself to the list of rabbis who are going to be matter, and I think it is actually a problem, because you have to know about it, and we shouldn't do anything without them knowing about it. And also, Rosh Hashanah says that we should say, Imamish says that the parents and the child should have a talk, they should sit together and tell him the truth, and say it in a very nice way, and Adrabah, this child especially has to be, we have to be care of him, the avotot shel ahava, in order to ensure that he will carry on being Jewish, and he won't have any ruach shtus and hevel ne'urim to do any protest. Okay, so that is regarding that question of telling. So he says it's a machlokes a batei din. I think the majority of the world do say that they actually have to tell the children. Maybe also because of what Rav Jared actually said, that in order to prevent any problems between batei din around the world, let's do the thing which is actually for sure good, telling him in advance. But it's a tough one. For the last few minutes, let's discuss. Can we convert a child when he will be raised by a non-religious observant family? So, Minchas Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Weiss, the former guy with the Reda Charedis, so he gives a bunch of reasons why it is a problem to actually do that, and he actually has to be raised by a fully Jewish family. First of all, he says that the entire reason that there is this Gerus of a Katan, according to the Gemara, is Mishum Dizchutulo, Zachin Ashayfanav. And as Tosfot even says, it's a Zchus Gamul, right? It's 100% Zchus. So he says, Mazchutilehem, if they're not going to be observant, Adraba, Chovailehem, Shimeyanashin. If he's not going to be raised as a non-Jewish, as a non-Jew, going to do a million of eros in his life, he'll have this terrible Gehenim. So in that case, this is not a zchus, for sure not a zchus gamur. So in that case, if there is no zchus, there is no ger katan. If there's no ger katan, there's no gerus. And that's why he has to be raised in a Jewish family. Another reason, he brings the ritva. Why aren't we concerned that he might protest? The reason is because it's highly unlikely that he will protest and won't remain Jewish. Because he will be educated as a Jew. But in this case, he won't be educated like a Jew. So in that case, he will for sure protest. If he will for sure protest, so in that case, again, we can't even do any gerus of a ger katan. Because the entire assumption of ger katan is that he won't protest. Now, there's actually good reason to believe that he will protest. And reason number three says that Tosfos Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin says that in the age of 13, what is the protest? Kabbalah Smitzvos. Manish telling him, maybe, that he had the right to protest, and that is actually your Kabbalah Smitzvos. If he will say, I don't want to be Jewish, if he will be raised in a family that has no mitzvos, so in that case, there is no Kabbalah Smitzvos. If there is no Kabbalah Smitzvos, there is no Gerus. So because of all these reasons, which actually emerge from the Rishonim, says Minchas Yitzchok, it's not good. Of the Yashiv, carries on and also brings a few reasons why it is a problem. He tells us that even if we want to say this child is what's called a tinuk shenishba, right? This is a tinuk shenishba. He's a Jew, but he was kept captive by non-religious people. So, and he has no idea what to do. He wasn't ever educated. He says, nevertheless, although he has to give only one korban, we'll have Pesach Mikdash, he'll give only one korban of Chilul Shabbos. I guess maybe even as opposed to us, that maybe we did even more of Eros, but he never knew about Shabbos. So in that case, he has to bring only one korban. Nevertheless, if every time that he did Chilul Shabbos was an Avera, maybe he won't be punished, but it still was an Avera. And then he says, Nimtza shekol yemei chayav hem meleim chet ve'avon v'zeguk kapara v'im yisher goy halo hakol shari leis. Much better, he says, to be a non-Jew than a Jew that does a bunch of Averos, because he will be punished. He will be punished with Kobanot, he'll be punished with Gehenim. So in that case, it won't be good. And also, as mentioned beforehand, since we have a chazakah that he will carry on being Jewish, in this case, there is no chazakah that he will be Jewish. Interesting, on the flip side, the Gris Moshe is Mikel. Moshe finds in source 20, so he brings a case that a person was a teacher in a school, and then they find out that many of the students in the school were actually converts from a reform or conservative Beis Din. In that case, they are not kosher gerim, as we said, because we have to have a Beis Din, as mentioned last week. So in that case, if it's not a kosher Beis Din, the children are not Jews. So they're asking Ramoshe, can we carry on teaching in this Jewish school? Actually, many of them are not Jewish, because we're actually teaching Torah to non-Jews. And as we all know, we cannot teach Torah to non-Jews because it's either it's Gezel or it is Gilu Arayos, Torah Sered Moshe, Murasha, Kiratakos, either it's our possession or it is our fiancé, our betrothed wife. So how can we actually do that? So says Moshe Feinstein, I think it's fine because you're teaching the Torah class, so you have there both Jews and non-Jews, so even if the non-Jews are listening, it's also fine. Also, they think that they're Jewish, so there is no actually Lifnei Iver problem, so it's fine. And also, if you're going to leave the school, this school is going to be closed, and the wonderful children are going to be in schools without any proper Jewish education, and that would be a big problem, so in that case, it's fine. But then he concludes and says, but I'll tell you what, we can find a solution for all these children. Let's do Gerakatam. And although all their parents are not observing Jews, nevertheless, it's still a schus. וגם אף אם לא יתגדלו להיות שומרי תורה, מסתבר שהוא זכות. It's not a זכות. דרישי ישראל, שיש להם קדושת ישראל ומצוותם שעושים, הוא מצווה ועבירות, הוא להם שגגה, הוא גם כן זכות מלא נוחים. Anything is better than to be a non-Jew, says Moshe Feinstein. If you are a Jew, so you have קדושת ישראל, it's something unbelievable. So even if you have a life full of Averos, it's still a זכות for you. That's why it is fine. רב רחם, Rabinovitz, the Rosh Yeshiva of Male Adumim, and the former senior rabbi of the Clanton Park Synagogue. So he was actually one of the biggest supporters of the idea of having these Geirus camps. And one of the reasons is that he brings a strong Rambam from Pirush Mishnayos on Makos, the famous Mishnah that we all say, Hatzah Kosh Bechu Zikot Yisrael, Lefichach, Hirbalim Torah Mitzvot, Shilemar, Hashem Chavis Masad Koho, Hidid Torah V'Yadir, that Hashem wanted to give us a bunch of mitzvot for our schus. Why is it a schus to have so many mitzvot? Isn't it hard to have so many requirements? Because he says, I'll tell you why. If you take one mitzvah, says the Rambam, and do it fully, do it as good as possible, and with all the commitment, and do it in the great way, so in that case, that is enough for you to be Zohar, to Gan Eden, and that's why you have so many mitzvot. Find something. Decide, I won't eat bugs. That's it, you're done. In that case, you're fine. Don't drink blood. Great, you're amazing. That's case, and now you're 100% kosher Jew, and you're great. So he says, even these non-Jews, these children, they're going to be converted, they'll have one mitzvah that they're going to do right as a Jew. That's amazing. That is already a big zchus. In that case, it's fine. So he says, this is okay. He brings also the words of Rav Weinberg, that back in the day in Germany, he was very machmir about this, that we shouldn't convert these children of these women that were assimilated. But he says that's only because we're maybe supporting the assimilation, but without supporting. So he says, this is true only in Chutz Laaretz. We have a problem of assimilation. But in Eretz Yisrael,
there's no problem of assimilation. If everyone are going to be Jews, it's going to be fine. And on the contrary, we're doing this in order to actually stop the assimilation. So in that case, he says it's a very good idea. In that case, it's a schus, and it's fine, and you should actually do that. Halacha l'maisa. So he indeed, Rabinovitz opened a separate chain of Batei Din called Giyuk Halacha that is recognized by the Israeli courts, like almost every other Beit Din in the world is recognized, in terms of the law of return. But in order to get married, so you still have to go through the chief rabbinate, and the chief rabbinate are very machner about it. You have here Rav Avad Yosef, that says in source 22, Lechatchila nachon shelo legayram, but if you did do that, b'dievet, it's fine. And you have the founder of the chief rabbinate, Rav Cook, and he says, that what are you talking about? He says, Ikar gerus halo kabbalat mitzvot, Ikar shelo gerus. What is gerus? Kabbalas mitzvos. In that case, if the parents are not going to raise him with kabbalas mitzvos, so in that case, there is no gerus whatsoever, and ainu gerus klal, even with the yeved, says Rav Cook, it is not gerus, and that is, I think, was the approach of the chief rabbinate. And Hashem, hopefully we'll have shalom between all the rabbi organizations in the world, and Hashem will have also Geret Tzedek, which will all be Hashem observant, keeping Torah mitzvos, and I'm hoping for a time of Mashiach, מהירה בימינו, אמן.